Welcome back. We're back again with episode 6 of 2S Horror Quarters podcast. Today we got a special guest, Justin Vasquez, also known as Scaredy Cat Vasquez. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited.
Well, hey, thanks for trekking way out here, man. You're out in what, Hawaiian Gardens area?
Yeah, like right near Long Beach and everything like that. It was a bit of a drive, but it was fun. You get to definitely see like when you abandon the city and like everything comes like a farm life type of thing.
Yeah,
you were like, saw some like live animals. We're like, yo, dude, that's awesome.
Right. So I met Justin through Jonathan, mm-hmm. also known as Mr. Death Breath. Now, how did the two of you meet? Because that interests me. That fascinates me how the link ups between people and how they connect.
It was actually a pretty interesting story. One of like the videos that I kind of like helped turn my channel was doing a spook show, which was over at La Mirada at the Halloween Club.
Okay.
They would have like it's like a swap meet with like all these like vendors of like Halloween like businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They all come together and they sell some stuff. And I would go there and interview the vendors. And at the time I was thinking like, I don't know if I'm going to be doing crowd work, like talking to the crowd and everything like that, like the people walking around. But then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am. First people I talked to was Mr. Death Breath and his wife. He was dressed up as Jason, how most of them know Hickey cosplays as that. And then his wife was dressed up as like a skeleton girl and everything like that. And just started talking to them. And then he just hit me up on, when the video came up, hit me up through the comments and like, oh, hey, you know, my name is Jonathan.
Yeah.
Check out my channel, Mr. Death Breath. And like, you know, I'd like to do like a video with you one day. And I was like,
yeah,
let's do it, man. And ever since then, we did the first, he was on Haunt Talks, I want to say 5. Anyways, but we did a Haunt Talk episode together and we just like became a lot closer now. You know, he's like one of my best friends now, dude. You know,
that's cool, man. So being that this is a horror podcast, anything horror related, I mean, we kind of get off topic sometimes, but I wanted to find out you know, more about what you do in the mazes and the reviews of those mazes and how you got into that and things.
So I'm just a big fan of like Not Scary Farm and places like that, so I decided like, you know, why not talk about it, you know what I mean, like make a YouTube channel about it. Didn't really see too much of it going around. You'd see like walk through, like filming while they're doing that, like filming while they're going through the maze and stuff like that. That's about it. But no one went like in deeper, like, you know what I mean? Talking to the people who designed the maze, talking to people who work in the maze. So I was like, you know, why don't we do something like that? So that's what kind of I do. I kind of like talk to the scare actors. I've gotten to talk to some of the creators, like Johnny Cook, who's also a singer for Winds of Plague.
Okay.
And he worked at Not Scary Farm for several years. And now he just started working for Queen Mary too. Really great. Designer. He has his own company called Plague Productions, and that's basically what my channel's about. Just anything that's kind of like what you're doing, anything that's Halloween horror related. And mostly like immersive theater, because that's what goes around year round, because it's hard to do something about Not Scary Farm in July, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, so a lot of the immersive independent groups will come in, and like some of the extreme haunts will come in too, and then I'll go cover them and stuff.
Well, I mean, I know when I go to the Halloween haunts at a Halloween Horror Night at Universal Studios, some mazes are better than others.
Yeah.
What do you look for? I mean,
I look for? Like in a maze?
Yeah, like what is good, the bad, what, you know?
Well, one thing I do look for is just like, you know, how interactive is it? Like, you know, is a scare actor, are they just going to be yelling at you, or are they going to be telling you some stuff?
Right.
I've been mostly freaked out when like scare actors, like I always go like when I'm scared, I'm like, oh God, oh God. And I've had scare actors come in and say like, oh, like there is no God, like playing some like demon person.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that freaks me out, because, you know, we all go in there to have fun and we all put ourselves in the situation that the maze is given. So, like, you know, you're being like the chased victim, and now this monster is telling you that just to abandon all hope. It's the most freakiest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, so stuff like that. You know, but like any other places that's just kind of cliche, where you go into one room, there's one guy going, ah, it's like, all right, you know, it's like, I get it. Like, you know, if they have like a lot of props and everything like that, like Universal was one, like some people didn't like some of my review on it, where it was like, I felt like it was kind of, every maze was almost the same. It was a cool looking room, then you go into a dark room and a scare actor come out. Then you do the same thing over and over again. At least that's how it was for last year, 2018. Because that was like my first year going. I could be wrong about all the other years, they obviously have done a lot of amazing things to get the popularity that they have now.
Yeah.
And they deserve every sort of like,
sure,
every sort of credit that they get, like, you know, with everything, you know. But when I went last year, that's what I saw. And that's the type of thing that it's like, it's cool, you know, I'll go through it because I'm a fan, but I wouldn't, like, you know, necessarily pay top dollar for it.
Okay.
Know? That's about it.
Yeah, last year's Universal one was kind of lacking. I think my favorite one, I forgot what year it was. It had to be maybe 3 years ago, but they had Evil Dead, and that was incredible, and the Insidious one was great. But I, last year, wow, see, that it wasn't even that. I can't remember which ones there were this past Halloween.
There was,
which one was
for 2018, there was Stranger Things. There was, they did the Terror Tram, which Chucky
was taking
over that one. And inside of that, they had a Purge area, and they had like a photo op with the Psycho House and everything like that because movie. Another movie, the TV show. You know what I'm talking about, that newest one that's about that. And then... what else?
It wasn't that memorable to me. I just
Know. Oh, they had Halloween. That one was really good.
But it was like Halloween 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, Halloween 4, right. Return of Michael Myers, I believe. And then they had a Blumhouse or Blurhouse.
Right.
Yeah, Blumhouse.
Yeah.
With Unfriended and some other movie.
Okay.
And then they had The Purge for the newest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, I forgot the other ones. Oh, the monster classics. So like, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein,
right.
Phantom of the Opera, all that stuff, which that one I actually liked because that one was okay for as a thing where you go in and there's not that much really going on because they want you to take a look at everything. They put a lot of work into all their sets and everything like that. So that one, it was kind of like it was more like a museum that you get like a little freaked out in. You know what I mean? Because you're going back in time and checking out all these movie classics that like inspired everything that out today. You know what I mean? So,
well, I think the year before, 2017, they had the original Halloween, if I remember right. And that was good. Like I said, Evil Dead was good. American Werewolf in London, I really enjoyed. But it was a little hit and miss for me the past couple of years. But I know it's a lot of work into it. It's just it's all subjective, I think. It's pretty much what you like and what you don't like. But
exactly.
Paul Steven Edwards, I don't know if you know him. He's the one that did the podcast with Mr. Death Breath.
Yes. Yeah.
He's involved with that. He's involved with the ones that
he is, and I
grab you and shit.
Yeah, he's involved with, I don't know if I'm allowed to say their names, but
okay, you don't.
Yeah,
probably don't.
Because it's like with most haunts like that, it is like a secret society, not like in a bad way, just because it's like they put so much work into it, and it's like they want you to go through it. It's like
We won't say any names.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say any name, but he is part of a group of people that I was gonna be working with, but I just couldn't find the time to make it to one of their shows. Yeah, those places that grab you, though, I give them props because we live like in a society now where everyone's suing everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can get sued. Even like not Scary Farm could get sued.
Yeah.
For like if something goes wrong. You know what I mean? But thankfully, a lot of the fans that go there, they're pretty diehard, and they know what they're getting themselves into, and they're not gonna like sue, like ask for like millions of dollars just because like they slipped on someone's spilt beer on Not Scary Farms ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
are there disclaimers when you the ones where they grab you?
You have to sign waivers. You have to go through. You have to let them know about any like medical or physical like restraints that you have. So like I have like a mildly like bad like lower back. From like working like warehouse and everything like that in my past, and I let them know that. Luckily, it hasn't stopped me, but I know what this place that the guy was, Paul Steven Edwards, was working at.
Yeah,
it would probably be a little bit painful for me, but I wouldn't like say anything about it. Yeah, and I wouldn't tell them anything about it oh, you messed up my back. Now, something I'd still love to do, but you know, like all those like places that do the grabbing and everything like that. It's because like when most people think it's like, oh, all you gotta do is just grab them. No, they tell like such a beautiful story sometimes, especially with that company that he works with. Mm-hmm. Everything that the guys were doing was connection to like the last thing. So you had to go through the first one to understand what's going through the second one. Then you had this other story. Then you had like another story. And they're also being experimental too. They had like a story where they involved like weed and stuff like that, like cannabis. Mm-hmm. They had like, I think they would give you like an edible, or they'd like have you smoke with one of the actors and stuff like that during the thing. They said that they gave it to you in different ways. So it's like, I wasn't too sure exactly, but it was just, they do amazing work. Same thing with this one company. They don't really do that much anymore. They're called Blackout. those guys were kind of like the pioneers of like extreme haunts, because they were, that's like the reason why a lot of them, all the other ones are kind of like secret society, because Blackout is secret society. Like most people that go to Blackout don't tell you about it, or if they do tell you that they went through it, that's all you know about it. They don't tell you about like certain things until the documentary came out called The Blackout Experiments. They like, you know, they send you emails, call you, and like send you text messages telling you like, all right, like they'll ask you questions like, what's like your biggest fear, what are you like self-conscious about, like just things just to get into your head to make it even more scarier. But it's also just to kind of like see what can they use. Each show was personally for you, basically. Mm. It's amazing work, you know, they do.
Yeah, and so I wonder, is it a year-round thing for, for these cats? Like
with most extreme haunts, it is year-round. If they feel like that they have like a, like, you know, they need to do more productions, then no. Like 17th Door, they are, it's like, I call them like the stepping stone at extreme haunts, because it is an extreme haunt. They are allowed to touch you. You do have to sign a waiver. And you can get hurt in that maze if you're not like fully like aware. So that's why I tell everyone, don't go there when you're drunk, stoned, or anything, because you can't hurt yourself if you're not fully aware. They only do it around Halloween time, because they put like a whole bunch of like props together. They have like all these like rooms, like not animatronics as like monsters, but like they have like certain things where you need to get into a machine and something's going to happen, like an elevator or like something else. I know that one thing that they are known for, they do have ball pits. So you're going to get put into a ball pit one way or another. So they have to come up with ways to do that. They have virtual reality shows now too.
Right.
And so they have to come up with a way to make it more interactive and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of work. So that's the only one so far that's just Halloween. But everyone else, Blackout was year-round. This one other group I just recently did. I did a video on them. They're called Black Mass.
Yeah.
And they are going to be year round. They're working on their part two right now. So.
Well, but even if the haunt itself isn't year round, let's say it comes around, whatever it comes around, during Halloween time.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that it's still all year they're working on it, right?
I'm sorry, that you meant like when they're
they're open. And
from what I've talked to a lot of haunt owners and haunt designers, you're constantly working on it. As soon as October hits and you're dealing with everything that's going on, like when Knott's Scary Farm opens its gates for the first night, while everyone else is enjoying it, all the crew members, like all the designers, are already working on 2019, or like they were already, when 2018's gates open, they were already working on 2019. It takes a lot, because you now have to think about, like, because anyone could think of like, oh, we'll do like a, like, you know, a Jack the Ripper theme. That's right. Like, okay, how are you going to make it interactive? How are you going to make it different than stuff that we've already done before? How are you going to make it different than something someone else has already done before?
Right.
You know, how are you going to make it this, its own individual thing? So you're constantly brainstorming, you're constantly going over stuff, you're adding in, you're taking out things, you know what I mean? So it's like, and then you only give it a limited amount of space, so now you got to work with that space too.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, so it's always going to be, like, all these haunters and everything like that, they're constantly working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a short at Scandia in their haunt. I don't know if you've been, have you been to that one?
Never, no.
Okay. It was me, a couple of guys, a friend of mine, a fellow filmmaker. And actually three of us went in there, and we were able to, through someone he knew that worked in the haunt, actually go inside, and we got to see how things worked inside, and kind of behind the scenes stuff. And it's just it looks like just a huge process.
Yeah.
The facade and the walls and the set design and the props, all that stuff, having, you know, separate rooms and having to coordinate with the other rooms.
Yeah.
And make it all flow almost like a movie scene to scene. It has to be a constant flow. At least that's what I got out of it. So that's very interesting, man.
Yeah, no, it is very much like a movie. That's why I feel like a lot of people are loving it now, and it's becoming more of a modern thing now. Like a lot of the people I knew that didn't even know about Knott's Scary Farm are now either like diehard fans, and they are telling me stuff about haunts that I don't even know about yet. And like they're just like constantly like, you know, going at it. They're already saving up monies and stuff like that for it. And you know, it's because of how much of it like a movie it actually is. It's, you're living inside of a movie and everything like that. You know, you get to be part in it. You have like your own. This is a real personal thing, and everyone loves to deal with stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Did you go to Scarolet?
I did not. I've never been to Scare LA for as many years as it's been out. No, I'm mostly a Midsummer Scream type of person because okay. It's a lot closer. I live like so close to Long Beach, and I hate dealing with LA traffic much, man. The people, like, I go to Kings games sometimes, and it's like, oh man, the people out there just.
How's that Midsummer Scream?
It's pretty cool. Midsummer Scream. Okay. Yeah, they've gotten pretty big. From the first year I went, it was pretty packed. You know what I mean? It was a good turnout. Till the second, third, and now this year coming up, the fourth year, everyone's telling everyone, show up early. Because last year, I showed up late, I had to wait in line. Luckily, I had like the Golden Bat tickets, so yeah. I had to wait in a shorter, longer line. There were two longer lines, but one of them was shorter than the other, so I got to wait in that one. But third year, it was already like sold out on Saturday, and... What else? On Sunday, it wasn't sold out, but it was close to it. Mm. And they were like, it was just pretty packed. It was hard to walk around in there. You were waiting about like almost as long as you would wait, like at Not Scary Farm, just to go through like not even a minute maze.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they have like demo mazes and stuff like that.
Wow.
So it's like you're waiting like an hour just to go through like a maze that's going to be like, here's something that you can look forward to waiting in line again. You know what I mean? But it's worth it because... These people put on like amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? These are like hardworking, independent haunts. They're not like, it's not like Not Scary Farm and Universal. They don't have like other businesses investing in them. They are all doing it on their own stuff. You know what I mean? So,
jeez.
And the fact that they're able to put out things that I consider even better than them, even though like I love Not Scary Farm.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, no offense, you guys, but some of these people, Twisted Mind Productions, 17th Door, you know, the Flesh Yard, they put on some amazing stuff that are like
Flesh Yard, huh?
Yeah, Flesh Yard. Yeah,
what's up with them?
They I haven't really heard too much about them. They're usually just around Halloween or sometimes like a week like before and during, like after Halloween. They're like, it's like a very short run sometimes. One thing that they did, they put up a room where you had to find a key to get out of it.
It
was like, it was located in a disgusting area of the house, so that was something that was really cool. We didn't get to go through that one, me and my friend, when we first met them.
Yeah.
But I was talking to the owner, and he was telling us about it. He was like saying, like, yeah, dude, you guys should come on by. Fortunately, we didn't get a chance to make up that thing because it's like there's so much to do in SoCal haunt related that it's like it's hard to reach everything. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What is the other one? Twisted Mind?
Twisted Mind Productions. They're actually, they're like a bunch of young kids, like probably about like 16, 17.
Really?
Yeah. They're like in high school still. And, Zion and Dave, the two founders of that, they came out with like a haunt like 3 years ago called Clowns. I forgot what the other part of the title was, but it was a clown theme.
Yeah.
And then they came out with a thing called Annalise, which I went to last year. And now they're coming out with something different called it's about Salem, like the Salem witch trials and everything like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they already like posted it on their Instagram and everything like that. So, you know, they're young. They're full of passion and they're just really working at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing what they can do. Annalise was scary. When I went through that, I was terrified at these, at these kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like normally like really? I'm kind of like scared to be around kids. I was like, oh, what if they hit their head on something? But no, I wanted to get out of this place so bad because they were just coming out of every nook and cranny of the haunt and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Someone would come over and hear. Another person would come right in front of you. Someone come behind you. Someone come on the side of you. And it's like, dude, like, where are they getting all these people? Man, it's amazing.
Damn. Do you think that the companies that are using it a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
do you think they're doing that more just because that's just what they do? Do you think that's the reason why?
No. I think what it usually has to do is just about the environment. So, like, you'd get 10 times more scared if you're in a haunt by yourself than you would if you were in, like, a conga line type of thing. Because, like, that's another thing about Universal that's kind of a downside. They earned all the popularity that they have. Don't get me wrong. But I wish that they would kind of like split up the groups a little bit more. How would I say it? A little bit more smaller. So that way you're not just all like, all right, I can see that scare coming like a mile away.
Right.
And it's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, here he comes. All right, there he is. And it's like, that's about it. Not Scary Farm. They have sometimes that issue, but they hear out people. And they kind of like, you know, work a little bit better. Last year, even though how packed it was, me and my lady were still able to go through some haunts where we're like in a very small group of just like five of us. and stuff like that. So it'd be me and her and like three other people, or like maybe even six. So like you know, a few other people.
That's by design. They'll set that up that way.
Yeah, they'll set it up that way because some of these places, one, you're dealing with some tight corners. You know what I mean? Got to do like some like walking on some like very narrow mm-hmm. platforms and stuff like that. So that's another reason. And two, it's like they realize it's like, look, these things are better when you're by yourselves in the dark, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like the most common fear, to be alone.
Sure.
Surrounded by things you don't know, you know?
So. Yeah. So are you kind of knowledgeable of some out-of-state haunts?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah, okay. I know about a few of them. One of them, they used to be California, but then the guy had to move up to like Arkansas because like he was getting like a lot of stuff. His name is Russ McKinney. He's from McKinney's Manor.
Okay.
All that stuff. But I don't really like talking about him. He's kind of a crazy guy. But there's this other guy. There's this other group of people. They're called Castle of Chaos, and yeah. They're from Utah. And that's the one like I really want to attend because on their Instagram yeah. and everything like that, they're saying that everything's like really extreme. That you even get to, they have like a not a 24-hour one, but like an overnight haunt.
Damn.
Where you're spending the night there. And I don't know how the sleeping arrangement is. I don't know if they provide you even a pillow. But at one point, they're going to be like, it's time to go to sleep. And then that's it. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely trying to check that one out. And also because I just recently did an extreme haunt. Like I was telling you guys about that black mass and everything like that.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of like, it's kind of like getting a tattoo where it's like, yo, I want to do it again. Even though it hurts. You know what I mean? You get like this itch for
right.
it. Right. And so I'm definitely trying to make a trip out to there. So if these guys are watching, you know, I'd definitely love to check out your guys' place, you know, shoot.
What's their name again?
Castle of Chaos.
Castle of Chaos.
Yeah, they're
okay.
from Utah. Out of all places too. That's like where like a lot of Mormons are at and right, stuff like right. that. So,
you know, there was this thing, I never got to go to it. I haven't even seen it advertised again, but it was, it was kind of like a Crystal Lake sleepover.
Oh,
And you go, I guess you get tents and you,
yeah. Well,
I saw it advertised years ago and I hadn't seen it again. So I don't know if they still do it.
Was that for California or
was
that like,
maybe it even wasn't, I yeah. thought it was. Cause I remember looking at it going, you know, but I can't confirm whether it was out here or not, but have you heard of that?
I remember seeing the same flyer for that. And I was like, that's crazy. Cause I can't imagine like, you know, trying to sleep and everything like that. Then a monster's just going to come like open up your tent door and be like, ah, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like for those people who have to go to the bathroom late at night, have right. to walk around and there's like some dude like with a chainsaw chasing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't imagine doing that, but you know, that was a long time ago, but I feel like I'm ready for that now. You know what I mean?
Did you see Hellfest, that movie?
Hellfest? No, but.
Oh man, that'd be right up your alley.
Yeah. I saw the previews and like just the previews alone kind of like, hit so close to home because I've had friends that thought the same thing. I think the same thing too, where it's all like, what if we go to a haunt and like some real stuff goes down?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, all right, someone really did get killed or right. like, you know, like there's like an earthquake, but it's like, oh, is it like just like the floorboard shaking
yeah.
and that's it? You know, one biggest fear I always have, I don't know why, but I keep thinking, what if I get scared to death? Like,
oh,
it's like,
yeah.
you know, like what if they like some guy is like, ah, and I'm just like, ah, and like that's it, you know yeah. what I mean? It's like it's like that's like my biggest fear right there. Thank yeah. God it hasn't happened yet, but
you well know. I mean, do you go in scared or you is it do you
oh
you
know
laughing?
I'm freaked out the whole time. I'm like it, I laugh a lot when I'm scared, so
okay,
so like you can't really tell, but yeah, I'm always telling my girlfriend's like really annoyed by it because I'll be like, I don't know if I should do this, like you already signed up for it. It's
right.
like it's like, I don't know, though. It's like, then don't do it. It's like, but I paid money. It's like, then do it. It's like, it's just back and forth
yeah.
and everything.
When did you start up Haunt Talk?
Haunt Talk was probably about like a year ago now. Almost about a year ago. Yeah. Already going on to like almost, I think, 16 to 17 episodes now, man. It's
really,
it's been pretty good. It's been fun. I met a lot of amazing people through there. You know, one of the, like I said, I met Jonathan. Me and him became a
yeah.
lot more better friends through there. The last guy I interviewed, his name was Rick. He was a scare actor for Sinister's Point when they were doing that thing in Laguna Hills, Scary Place. And, you know, he's another good friend of mine. And, you know, just everyone else too. Like, you know, it's just a really good thing. Haunt Talk is something I'm like, I don't want to like pat myself on the back too much, you know what I mean? But it's something I'm very proud of because that was like a turn for my channel. After Spook Show, I saw like all these vendors and all these people like, you know, just really promoting themselves. And I was like, you know, like, you know, at the time Halloween is like, you know, Halloween is just becoming like more of like an okay thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least that's how I feel. Like, you know, like, not everyone's into scary movies, not everyone's into stuff like that, but it's like, now I see, like, a lot more people that are into it, or, like, at least okay with the fact that it's,
right,
that it's around, and it's more, it's provided more out there, and everything like that, you know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of places doing stuff for Christmas now, too, you know what I mean? And, like, it's usually, like, yeah, right after Halloween, everything's, like, done. No more right. jack-o'-lanterns, no more skeletons, and stuff like that, but now, they kind of push it back a little bit. It's like, you know, we're gonna keep it up a little bit more. Right. You know, so that's a good thing. But as I was saying, but with Haunt Talk, it's giving these people, these vendors and everything like that, a kind of a platform and everything like that, which is something I really wanted to do. These are amazing people, hardworking people that are they just want to show their love for their art and everything like that. You know, maybe even make some sort of an income or just make enough money to keep on doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's at the time I didn't have no platform at all. You know what I mean? Now I'm kind of growing one. So I want to do more with the podcast and everything like that, just to give these people some place to really promote their stuff and everything like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean, it like I said it on probably a couple of other podcasts, it helps while we're kind of, you know, editing on other projects or working on other projects, Brian and myself, or mm-hmm. whoever we're working with, or we can keep the juices going with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, with podcasts, because, you know, it's another conduit, man, that we can, you know, stay creative and keep things alive and inspire ourselves to do that. So it's pretty cool. So how long did it take you to do an episode?
To do one episode of Haunt Talk? Very first few episodes, which was just me rambling and just talking about certain people. I didn't have any guests on yet. It took me about a few hours just because, the camera I was using was kind of messed up. And my computer at the time was really glitchy, and I had no idea that downloading music would be that bad to your computer. So I don't do that anymore, but now it's probably takes me probably a day or two, depending, well, maybe a little bit longer because I work now and everything, I work more now and everything like that. At the time I was almost part-time, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But yeah, so it takes me a while and stuff like that. And also because I want everything to be so perfect, it's I'm always constantly going over and over and over and again and everything like that. So I'm pretty sure you're used to that too. All right, I watched it from zero to however many minutes it is. Now I got to go do it all over again, make sure everything's in its right place.
Right.
The camera cuts off at this right time, or the audio is synced in and everything like that. Or if you have I put little text things coming out every night. I want to make sure it comes out at the right time. Make sure the music's not overpowering any part of the conversation at all. If so, I have to adjust it. So, everything
that. Yeah, that's how you know you're familiar with the project. If you're really immersed in it and you know what's coming up next, 37 minutes and 6 seconds. At least my process is until I'm familiar with what I'm editing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm not familiar with, I need to get more into the edit, into the edit. So I definitely know what you're talking about there. But what's up with Sinister's Point? Sinister's I heard of that Point? Before, but.
Yeah, they were, before Scary Place in 2018, last year, they were gone for about a year or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, you know, hard to find a location, you know what I mean? But they're coming back now, from what I hear.
This is
they just posted up something. And, they're starting to ask people, oh, what was, your favorite haunts that we used to do and everything like that, you know? Because they weren't really that active until Scary Place came on. And then, they would probably post out, the little, auction that they would have, selling, some old props and everything like that. But nothing really too much, you know? But now they've been kind of getting active, so I'd like to say that they're going to be coming back, you know?
Where are they at?
They're originally from, I want to say Fullerton. Keep forgetting. But, I want to say Fullerton, and it's... They're really good companies. I got to meet the owners. I got to meet some of the producers, and Rick is obviously one of the scare actors. I met several other scare actors from there. Amazing people. Just so you know, it's kind of I think Stephen King once mentioned, not Stephen, yeah, Stephen King, yeah. He once mentioned some of the people that make all these horror movies, they're the nicest people ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the people that make all these extreme haunts, make the normal haunts that just scare people, make kids cry. Most nicest people ever. I've met the best people in my life. Just throughout these 2 years alone.
Wow. You know what I mean? That's great, man.
Yeah. There's these other people. I just met them at the spook show that just happened last month. Oh no, earlier this month. Called Desert Decay Manor. And they're saying that their location, just the location alone, is already freaky. So, I was kind of hesitant to go, but I'm gonna really try to make it this year. But
Desert
Coffin,
Decay,
yeah, oh. Desert Decay Manor, and Coffin Creek. Though I heard even the people from 17 Doors told me those guys are wild. And for an extreme hunt to say that about these guys, it's like, yeah. All right, you know what? Like, definitely need to make a drive up there. I think they're all the way in like, was it Corona or Pomona? Somewhere like, you know, down almost like around this area.
Yeah,
stuff like that. You know.
I didn't get to go to that spook show. Is that pretty much in the same location every time?
Yep. La Mirada, right next to the, I don't even know a freeway, but it's right next to a freeway. Just look for the Halloween Club. It's right in their parking lot. And
just vendors and things.
Just vendors. You know, if you want some taxidermy stuff, if you want some like handmade soap, which I love. I always, whenever I see these people, they're from Hellflower Soap Company. Nicest people ever.
Right.
I always try to get some soap from them because they make everything from scratch. They also work with like CBD too, which I'm a believer in like CBD products. Like I use like this like stick for like headaches.
Yeah.
That I rub on my temples. I use the creams for like my lower back and everything like that. And it doesn't get rid of the pain, but it makes it more tolerable and it kind of just helps you like get through the day a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
Have you done Monsterpalooza at all?
No, I was supposed to go, but, I had some like car difficulties, so I was like, I just fixed up my car and everything like that, so I was like, all right, I couldn't make it. Monsterpalooza, Son of Monsterpalooza is coming out though, so that's
September.
That's gonna be one I'm definitely gonna have to try to go to. What about you, have you gone to any of those?
Yeah, I went past 4 years probably.
Oh,
we,
nice,
we try to go to both.
Sons
and me and my buddies, we stay out there and try to go both days. But lately, man, the past couple of times, I don't know, their guests, they have a couple of headliners, but
yeah,
their guests, it seems kind of tapered off, but they're still packed. I mean, it's not hurting them at all.
Yeah, no, like I heard this year, like my friend, she texted me saying like, I've been waiting 2 hours and I'm barely getting close to the door.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, dude, that's crazy. And it's hot out there too.
It was hot, dude.
She was dressed up like in like as one of like the killer clowns from outer space. So she had like a suit and a big old clown mask.
Man.
And it was just like, dude, like you're a trooper for doing that, dude. I don't know how you can do that.
Right.
Oh man, it was crazy. But no, like all these like scare conventions, it's amazing how much there is. I'm actually planning a trip hopefully next year to Portland to do West Coast Haunters and everything like that.
What is that?
It's like just like a little, very small Monsterpalooza, Midsummer Scream, Scare LA type of thing, but just for all like the haunts that are going around in like the Portland area, Washington,
Oregon area,
and everything like that. You know what I mean?
Maybe get a booth and set your podcast up.
I would love to do that. You know what I mean? That's one of the ideas. That or just like, I love going around filming, and especially if there's vendors there too, local vendors. Yo, you want a shout out? Talk about your products.
Yeah.
Let's do that, man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
My brother lives out there in kind of like right near Portland, and he's telling me that he went to some of the mazes 2018, and he's all saying like, yeah, I kind of get it now. I kind of get like why you like this stuff. He's not really a fan of like all the horror stuff and everything like that, but he's like, he had a lot of fun going through like corn mazes and stuff like that and everything.
Yeah.
So they're doing a pretty good job out there to convince him to, you know, kind of get it, you know?
Would you ever do your own haunt, or would you ever want to get your own crew together and do one day?
For doing my own haunt, I thought about it. I wanted to do an extreme haunt because it's a lot of money to do stuff that's just like a walkthrough.
Yeah.
And I had this one idea. Like I used to write like short stories and stuff like that just for fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wasn't trying to get published or anything like that. And it was like this one idea I had, I wanted to make come to life. Excuse me. Well, I was talking to Russ McKinney, out of all people. That's the guy I told you about. I don't like a lot of the people in the haunt industry don't really talk about him because he goes over and beyond. He's the only extreme haunt without a safe word. And that alone is like an hour long topic, but like long story short, you shouldn't have someone be forced to do something they don't want to do. The safe word is there for when they have finally reached their limit and they want to be out now. It's kind of like a no means no type of thing. You know what I mean?
So you're okay talking about him now? Or?
Yeah. Only at the part where it's like talking about the advice he was giving me about doing an extreme haunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's, what did he tell you? And then I'd like to get back to that.
To that whole thing? Okay, definitely. Yeah. I'm like all over the place. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. Yeah. We were kind of
So basically when I was on the phone with him, he was telling me that, like, look, man, you don't want to do this. It's really hard. The insurance for it. I didn't know you need insurance to do a haunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought you just had to have the fire marshals, the fire marshals come in and check out, make sure that it's not a fire hazard or anything like that, you know? And it was just going to be, PVC pipes and trash bags as the walls. It was going to be completely blacked out and like a few lights every now and then.
Okay.
But it was just going to be some people just kind of like pushing you and that's it. Nothing really like crazy, but he was saying like even stuff like that, it's really hard to do this industry, especially if you want to do it as a home haunt, like in your own yard. It's really hard. If someone does not like anything about it, they can sue you and take everything you own. So I was like, damn. So that's what kind of like got me out of like the dream of working at a haunt.
But do you think if he's doing haunts and then you will say you're doing haunts, I mean, would it be in his better interest for him to steer you out of haunts?
Oh, that's a good point.
Or would it be, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, you don't want to do this.
I doubt it.
It's going to be hard, I would think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if he's like, especially if you've been going to so many and have so much whatever, would it be ideal to maybe take you out of that idea?
Out of that, basically, like, keep me out of the competition and stuff like that. Well, I don't know, man. That's a good point, you know? Maybe he was, but, hey, you know, even... like, you know, from talking to everyone else, you know, how much it costs to have, like, you know, a certain, like, even for a normal haunt, the insurance there is pretty high up and everything like that, you know, and it's, you got to make sure everything's safe and sound. And, like, you know, the way my walkway is to my house is not really, like, fully leveled.
Yeah.
I figured, like, at the time I was all like, man, I can just, like, control it. Like, you know what I mean? Tell people, watch your step, put some glow in the dark tape on there. But then I was like, look, after talking to him, thinking about everything, I was like, you know what? Nah, I shouldn't even try to risk it. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to do an immersive theater, though. I feel like that's always pretty good, where it's just like, you're telling a story, but then you're giving someone the ability to join in. You know what I mean? Like, you give them a key, and now they have to unlock the door that leads into this other dimension or something like that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do a haunt, per se, though. Like, you know.
Well, so his name's Russ, what?
Russ McKinney.
Is he out of this area or California?
He's out of California, thank God. He was here in San Diego for a while. And he, what else? I forgot where he moved to. I want to say Arkansas or Tennessee. But he's somewhere up there now. Basically, like, yeah, he basically got kicked out of his house because, like, you know, people were finding out what he was doing. Because he's not like, he's doing an extreme haunt, but there's no safe word. You know what I mean? So people are freaking out. People are passing out. People are like, you know, on the verge of having a heart attack and stuff like that.
And well, he's got to get insurance for that, right?
Yeah. He says he pays a lot for insurance for that type of stuff. And
so that's
like
legal
that.
To not have a safe word.
No.
Not that it's legal, but it's.
Technically, I think, I don't even know if it's legal or not, honestly.
Sign off on a waiver or something.
Yeah.
Honestly, in California, a waiver doesn't mean anything.
Waiver
is just like, you know,
really,
you can still get around a waiver in court.
Even at work, like if you sign something that says you can't sue a company for anything, if you get hurt on the job, you can still sue them,
right?
Because it's just a piece of paper. It's just saying that, like,
so you're gonna go to a mediator. Most companies do that, so they don't, you will not sue them. They can use their mediator to tie it down.
Yep.
So if you don't have a safe word, does he? This guy have an audience? Do people go? They want to sign up for that?
He has. I don't know if he still does, but he had a YouTube channel, and you know, he would have people watch it. He wouldn't show everything because some of these events are taking like 2 to 4 to 8 hours. The longest person to ever go through McKinney Manor, he claims, is 8 hours. 8 hours of nonstop through the maze, through the whole haunt. Which is a mix of like going to one room, going to another room. There's like, you know, being blindfolded, put into a van, going to another location, and everything like that. Yeah, dude,
straight
it's,
dog.
It's really crazy being blindfolded, put into a car. I don't mind doing that. I've done that before. You know,
really,
with other haunts and stuff like that. You know, it's fine, but the only thing is, sorry, I keep moving this, but like the only thing is that safe word. It's like a form of consent. You need your guests to feel safe, and whenever they feel like they cannot take it anymore, they can get out whenever they feel like it. You know what I mean?
Man.
So it's like, that's why he's kind of like not really mentioned that much in the haunt community. I only talk about him as a way of like to, like, you know, when other people want to, like, I've had friends saying that they want to do like extreme haunts, or like, you know, they're like, I've had some people saying, I want to do McKinney's Manor. I'm like, don't do it. If you want to enjoy a good extreme haunt that's just as brutal, you can go to 17th Door. You can go to If Blackout ever comes back, you can go to Blackout, which is way more intense, but they have a safe word though. You know what I mean? So you're safe.
So mm-hmm. he's known amongst all these other groups
yeah.
as like a no-no.
Yeah. Just like as a person who's just, you know, it's just like not really like
thinking all the way through.
Like not really, he doesn't like really care about his guests. There's a documentary you can watch. It's called, it's on Netflix, Haunters, The Art of the Scare.
Really?
And this is just, yeah, it's a really good documentary, really good watch. When it first came out, I watched it like 8 times, like, right, like in the same, the first week of it. It's a really good documentary. But this is just what I took from it. You know what I mean? All I'm saying right now is just my opinions. You know, it's like nothing to do with anyone else saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all my opinions. So if anyone has any problems with anything I'm saying about Russ, feel free to contact me. And it's like, you know, we can have a polite talk about it, you know. But it's like from what I took from that documentary is he doesn't care about his guest. He doesn't care about anyone that goes through his haunts.
He's on the documentary.
He's like one of like the main characters in the documentary. There's a good portion of just talking about him.
So I wonder if he's on a Netflix documentary, but he's not.
He's actually on two. Sorry, he's on a Dark Taurus when like the guy comes down to US.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the very last. Like the very last people here, that the guy that I think he's an anthropologist. The anthropologist talks to and everything like that.
That's a documentary as well.
Yeah, it's a series.
So, if he's on these two Netflix documentaries, and he's got to be, he's probably pretty well known, but he's still surviving in this field. But he's not liked.
Surprisingly, he's not liked amongst like a lot of the people. You know what I mean?
A lot of the big dogs.
At least that's what I get from, because whenever I say it, before Haunters came out and Dark Taurus came out, and before all this other stuff, like all that other stuff that he told me, before all this stuff like happened, I was like, you know, it's pretty cool. Because when I first got into McKinney's Manor, there was a safe word. You were able to make up your own.
Yeah.
And then he just took it out and stuff like that. Because he's always trying to like go one up extreme more.
That's what I was asking. Stuff like that. So do you think maybe removing the safe word and not have anybody harmed? Enlightens the experience, gets him more exposure. He's going against the grain, where everybody's going against one another, where he's going against the grain.
He's
gets him
like,
a little bit, whatever. But you're saying, I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Like, yeah.
You know, just, you know, to heighten this, but I'm going to take this away just to give something extra that somebody else is not doing, whatever.
I totally get the uniqueness and everything like that. That sounds great. But there also comes a point where it's like, these are the people, these are your fans, and you're hurting them. You know what I mean? These are like, you know, some of these people, like, they don't leave the same. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, it's just a haunt. It's all fake, but it's like, it's, you're still causing some sort of harm. It's like someone was at the point of where like, I really need to stop. And you just told them no. You kept on going and doing the thing that hurt them. That's how I see it. You know what I mean? It's a whole, it's kind of messed up.
But he must have his followers, right?
He does. He still does. He has his followers. He has like, you know, all this other stuff, but it's just, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I don't know. I wish I could try to talk some sense into him. Be like, hey, oh man, maybe you should bring back the safe word or something like that. Mm-hmm. Even though I doubt it, because that's what's getting him a lot of popularity, as you know, we already discussed, but it's this, at what cost? You know what I mean? What cost? Like, you know, I'll do anything to film at any place. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like to film at like Midsummer Scream or to film at, like, at the Spook Show. I'll do whatever I can to film there. But if someone's telling me, please get that camera out of my face, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Like, you know, if someone's like, I don't feel comfortable you filming next to me, I'm going to be polite. I'm going to film someplace else, you know? And like, granted, like, you know, it's a whole different situations, but it still is the matter of keeping people comfortable. You know what I mean? If a vendor tells me, no, I don't want to be on your YouTube channel, I'm not going to be all like, well, too bad, you're already on it, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just going to be like, okay, you know,
cool,
like, you know, and move on. And that's it, you know?
Wow. So that's a trip how this guy, I wonder if there's any animosity. Well, obviously there's animosity, but any kind of envy in the haunt world when it comes to this guy, only because he's getting all this pub.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have anything to do with it? Or is it simply his, I guess he doesn't care for the fans. Could that be it? His lack of care for the fans?
I don't want to like permanently say that he doesn't care about his fans, because maybe he does,
right?
But that's just what I take from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, everything's my own opinion. It's not influenced by anyone else. It's just by everything I've seen in the haunt industry.
Right.
So I can't really answer that with like, you know, I don't even know what to say about that question. You know, maybe he does have some compassion for them and we just don't see it.
Right.
But out of everything I've seen, I'd say no. You know what I mean? He seems like a nice guy. Every time I've talked to him, I talked to him like 3 times.
Uh-huh.
He was polite. I took a picture with him. You know what I mean? Back when I was a fan and everything like that. And then it's like, you know, now after seeing everything, it's just kind of like, you know what, dude, it's like, you know, when you have a friend, like, you know, you guys, like, you start off, like, y'all smoke some weed together and everything. Yeah. Then that friend goes off and does heroin. You kind of keep your distance from him. It's kind of like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like, I don't know how to explain it. You know, hopefully nothing really bad happens to him to the point where he gets the wrong person in the hunt and pisses them off.
Yeah.
And something happens, like, you know, legal stuff, and he gets sent to jail or anything like that. Hopefully nothing like that happens, you know. And just hopefully, like, he's still, like, you know, he loves doing hunts. He does have a passion for it. He's been doing this stuff way before. McCanny's Manor was way different way before, like, it became what it was now. You know, it was like a normal, it was like a, everyone looked forward to going to McCanny's Manor because it was a pretty scary hunt that he put in with all of his passion and everything like that. You know what I mean? He's a very passionate guy when it comes to doing hunts. Thing is, like I always say, it's with that safe word. When he took that out, he kind of took away the guest rights of when to say stop. He took away their say, which, like, any haunt designer will tell you, you know, you can do everything you want. You can do everything your style, but your fans do kind of like, not, they don't tell you what to do, but they do have some sort of say. You know what I mean? If they say, like, oh, hey, you should probably, like, watch out with that third step, it's a little, like, messed up, someone could hurt themselves, you're going to go in and check it out. You know what I mean? You're not going to be like, well, hopefully someone does hurt themselves, they make it more scarier for them. You know what I mean? No, you're going to go in and check it out because you want everyone to leave there with a good time, safe, and in the right mindset. You know what I mean?
And the safe words, obviously, just for the extreme.
Extreme haunts, yeah. Right? You know what I mean? Because, like, any other haunts, they have, like, oh, they always have, like, exit. Like, if you go, like, you've been to Universal, like, you see, like, the person with the flashlight. That person's always right next to that person is always an exit door and everything like that. So, you have ways to get in and out of there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, they don't really need the safe word or anything like that. But it's mostly for places that are immersive theaters that are really scary. You know, like, this one I went to, they had a safe word. And that was only because there's only two exits. And we had to come through one of them, and then you had to go through everything else to get to the other one. So at any point, if I wanted to say stop, all I had to say was, I don't remember the safe word, like Cookie Monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would turn on the lights, escort me out, have a nice night, and that's it.
Immersive, what is that called?
Immersive theater.
And that's different than a regular...
Yeah, it's basically, it's kind of the same, where in the way, like, the setup, you're setting up sets, you have actors.
Maybe but it's a maze, or is it a stage?
It's mostly from the ones I've been to, it's been a maze.
Okay.
But it's mostly just a bunch of rooms that you go into, and it's just, basically it's a maze.
They call them something different
this one, it's like, you need to, like, there's a whole storyline, there's dialogue, there's narrators, there's certain things going on that you have to react to. You know what I mean? Like, The Willows is one of the biggest ones out there right now, made by, like, Justin Fixture, I want to say his last name is.
Okay.
But he's the guy who does Creep LA. And The Willows is one of, like, the biggest ones out there right now. You know what I mean? They're, and everything is, like, so immersive to the point where you're even having dinner with the characters. Not like the actors that are playing the characters. The characters are sitting down in character, eating real food with you. And it's so you're now part of this world. As soon as you walk into their doors, you are now part of their world in a fun way. And it can be scary, but, you know, well, there's always that, like, that safe word and stuff like that, you know?
So, and that's the one where you have two exits?
The one I went to, you had two exits, so that one needed a safe word. So at any point I felt scared or I felt like it was too much, I just say it and they turn on the lights and I exit out. And that's it. You know what I mean? Any other places? That's how most of the ones I've been to. I haven't been to The Willows yet, so I don't know, because it's on a larger scale. I don't know how that one's going to be. They'll ask you questions. They have your input. You get to make choices, and certain choices affect the outcome, all that good stuff and everything like that. And so the safe word for that would probably be, like, just to, like, let the actors know, all right, go back to being Steven. Go back to being Kevin. You know what I mean? You are no longer this person.
So I guess if you have to use the restroom or anything, you go out one of the exits, right? You tell them, hey, safe words. Like, if you got a shit or something, what do you do?
that's a good question. I always try to relieve myself before a haunt, because it's like, most places, they're like, nah, once the thing starts, you have to go through the whole way and everything like that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it can kind of take away from, like, the feel. It's not like they want you, like, oh, we want your bladder to suffer. No, it's like, you know, they're just like, you know, once we stop, it's going to be kind of hard to get back into it.
Right.
And it's just all like, all right, action. And then you kind of, you realize now that it's like, you're no longer immersed into it no more.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a witness. You're just, you realize it's all acting, which everyone does, but it's still, once you go into it and you just go straight into it, like just all the way through without stopping, it's almost like you get like little moments where you're like, all right, maybe this is real. Maybe these are like real people right now that I'm talking to, you know, but in a fun way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nothing like really like where it's all like, all right, that person's going to track me down and kill me or something like that.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Damn, the safe word. So if there's 100 people going to one of these things, uh-huh. is there just one safe word they tell you before you go in?
Yeah, everyone knows the safe word and stuff like that. Like Knott's Berry Farm, when they did Trap, when they tried like, you know, dipping their toes into the extreme haunt world, which it didn't do too well. Their safe word was boysenberry because, you know,
yeah,
they have boysenberries there.
What was Trapped?
Trapped? It was a...
Or Trapped.
Yeah, Trapped. It was a little area in Knott's Scary Farm. And they would have you go through like all these stuff. You'd solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Scare actors would be able to touch you. Nothing violent, okay. But like, you know, like kind of like they put your arm around you. Okay. You know what I mean? They'd kind of like grab your hand, pull you to go right. to this door. There was this one part where they'd make you drink some stuff and everything like that. And it was like, I read the Yelp reviews. It was vinegar. So it upset a lot of stomachs. So that's what kind of reasons why that was like its last year. Cause a lot of people got mad about that. And they're like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do that again. And, yeah, it was just stuff like that. They did have an awesome ending. I didn't know about this because, like any extreme haunt, they don't tell you stuff. But
yeah.
Knott's Scary Farm did a panel about it at Midsummer, and I kind of stepped in a little bit late. But they were talking about this at that. They had a segment, not a segment, a part where you go in and it looked like a normal, like the normal room. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't the stage room anymore. It was a normal room. But then as you try to go towards the exit, lights turned off. Monsters come out and you get put back into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a false ending. You know what I mean? And
right.
then you go through one more room and then, all right, that was the actual ending. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And they knew how to trick some people with that, you know, but other than that, it didn't do too well. I think it was only around for about like 3 years, maybe four. Cause I remember dropping off my brother one time at Knott's Scary Farm when I was like too young to go in. And, I remember seeing like this big old wall and it said Trapped and had a bunch of hand prints on it and stuff like
yeah.
that. And I remember thinking like, why are you going into this, man? He was only going there just because like his girl he was dating in high school was going and stuff like that. He didn't like it that much either.
Wow.
Yeah,
there was another haunt I didn't get to go to this past year. It was really good. It had the Exorcist like church and
oh
what was the name of it, my buddy Larry went to it, and I think Paul went to it, and I did
the Exorcist. Was it Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard that was sick.
Yeah, they had the new It movie.
Yeah.
Too, mm-hmm. Which I'm not really like a remake type of guy, but yeah. that one is the best remake. I prefer that one than the original. You know what I mean?
I must confess, I haven't seen the original.
Okay.
I mean, as a kid, I remember seeing pieces, but
oh, yeah.
But yeah, the remake, or the reboot, whatever you want to call it, I loved it, man. I don't really like the kid bullying stuff, you know,
yeah.
but, you know, that's, but past that, yeah, I thought it was incredible, man.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Of it?
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
I loved it, both the original and the remake, because the original, I love Tim Curry.
Mm-hmm.
I have, like, the tattoo that he has, like, in Rocky Horror, like,
the
heart
yeah.
with the dagger that says Boss. Everything like that. That was my very first tattoo because I love that movie and I love Tim Curry's voice. Just the way he talks is awesome. And when he was Pennywise, he did amazing.
Yeah.
All the dialogue he was saying was funny, scary,
yeah.
twisted. It was like a different version of Freddy Krueger. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And then the newer one, it was kind of like how it should have been almost, where it's like, yeah, it, like, you know, the original one, it was good, but I felt like the storyline alone should have been made it more scarier, but because mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like 1980s,
yeah,
like 1980s when that movie came out,
yeah.
it's like, you know, the way they made movies was like a little bit different than
sure.
like, you know, modern era, so
everything's perspective, you
yeah.
know, yeah,
you know what I mean, so it's like basically like the way that they did the remake was kind of like the way that it should have been in the, like how
yeah.
it really should have been, like how the scary part of it, you
where's
know
my
mean?
Georgie, oh there he is.
There he is,
yeah.
Georgie.
He's
got
yeah.
both arms though. That's good though.
Yeah, that was that's rough. That first scene.
I was shocked
because
in the I don't want to spoil it for you, but in the original they don't show that part.
Right.
They just show like you know the clown, and then they just kind of like cut screen, like it fades out and stuff
yeah.
like that. But then like in the original one they show everything. I was in the movie theaters. I almost got kicked out. I got
in
told to shush.
One.
Yeah, the newer
right.
one. I got told to shush because I like literally for like that part where they ripped the arm off.
Yeah.
And then at that, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, some ladies behind me were like, shh. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was, it caught me off guard because I was like, they ain't gonna show it. They ain't gonna show it. But now they showed it.
Yeah.
Like,
that was really good. And the guy that played him was pretty good too.
Oh yeah. You
know, his eyes doing all kinds of weird stuff. And see what they do with the next one.
Yeah. They're going to be making a number two, which is pretty dope.
Yeah. Right yeah, there. Exactly. How'd you come up with your logo, man?
The logo? Oh, the new one? The cat one?
Yeah.
The cat logo, Jonathan's wife actually made it.
Yeah?
Mr. Deathbeth's wife's made it, and I love it so much. I'm like, I don't know if it's egotistical or something like that, but I low-key want to get it tattooed on me. Just because, like, I have, like, already one cat tattooed on me, so I was like, you know, maybe I might get another one. And this one, it reminds me of, you heard of Black Crafts, like the clothing company?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually wearing their stuff right now.
Yeah.
They have, like, a thing called Lucifer. Where it's like supposed to be like Lucifer, but
I've seen that.
It looks just like something like that, but more cartoonish and more adorable. And the little hairs on the that are sticking out remind me of like how Slender Man, when you see like the stuff sticking out of him and everything like that. So it provides like a little cuteness and scariness and stuff like that. So it's like it's something that you don't mind looking at, but it also reminds you like, oh, this is for like a horror stuff. You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool. I love it so much. Like I yelled on the phone thanking her so much. I was like, I fucking love it, thank you.
Did she draw it?
She drawed it. She's an artist and everything like that, you know what I mean?
What about your logo before that?
A friend of mine, an old coworker, came up with that. It was like a little like eye, kind of like an Illuminati looking eye and stuff like that, just because like that's always freaky. And when at work we'd always talk about conspiracy theories and stuff like that, so he did something like that. He also made me some pins too, like a zombie looking face. I still have like one more left because I was passing them out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping that last one just like, you know, memorabilia and everything like that for how things when I first started. And that one, you know, I still loved it. I had came out with some merch for it, and I still have like one of the merch I bought myself for that, just like as a memory thing. You know, but it was just time to change and get something that was more relatable to like, you know, because when you see an eye, you don't think of a scaredy cat. You know
right.
what I mean? So I was like, you know, show him a cat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was pretty cool.
I'm going to have to check out those Netflix documentaries because now
definitely.
I'm definitely interested because the safe word, at least, I know we're jumping around topics here, but the safe word to me is obviously gives you a little comfort, right?
Exactly. Like, and let me just like make a disclaimer again. I have nothing against Russ himself as a person.
Right.
You know what I mean? He served our country. He was in the Navy, I believe, or the Air Force. He served our country, you know, he's a nice guy from what I know him, but when he made that decision to do that, that's kind of like a big thing. And it was kind of like something that's kind of hurting people. And I feel like, you know, we shouldn't punish him, but we should try to like lead him into the righteous path type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't want to see him get in big trouble.
Right.
It's kind of like, it sounds like I'm mad, but I'm only like, just kind of like, I'm worried for him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's because like I was saying earlier too, it's a form of consent.
Mm-hmm.
If like at one point someone says no, you stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No means no.
No means no type of thing. You know what I mean? It's just, and so that's why they come up with the safe word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's all like you some points like, you know, they're just not going to be able to take it no more.
And right.
Like, we all know it's fake. We all know it's not going to be real, but sometimes the mind just snaps. This happened to me before. The very thing that got me into like even more into haunts was from like a kind of like a traumatic, not, I don't want to say traumatic. It was an eye opener type of thing.
Yeah.
But it was because at one point I literally did not know what was reality and what was fake. I was kind of like, you know, like in this weird in between thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was at the first year of Midsummer Scream, this company called Screenshot Productions. They came out with this thing called Bartle Totem. It's supposed to be like Book of the Dead. I don't know if it's like a Buddhist thing. I don't know what form of Buddha. It was like Indonesian or like Asian type of Buddha, you know, because it's different forms. I don't know what type of Buddha it was, but it was basically the Book of the Dead. And it was kind of like you're going to experience your own death. The demo was you're going to experience your own death. And then the rest of the haunt is you experience a little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell. And then based off, it was an immersive thing. So based off of your choices in there, you would find your final resting place.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so, they're not doing it anymore, so I can talk about it. So, basically what it was, they put me on I talked about it on my channel too. They put me on a hospital bed and everything like that. And they have me with a gas mask thing on, and it's, nothing's coming out of it. It's just like, it's just on for effect. And, they have like a lady standing in front of me and everything like that. And she's like, I'm like right here. And she's like, just looking straight. So I'm just like kind of laying there. And at first I'm like kind of giggling a little bit. I was like, yo, this is so crazy. Oh my God. And everything like that. And then as soon as like, you know, the music is all playing and then the music stops and it makes like a dum type of noise. And then you start hearing like a little heart monitor, like deet, deet, deet. And then I was like, oh shit. And then the woman goes straight into character, has a flashlight to her face and a flashlight to my face. And she's crying like a she's playing like a mother that's losing her child and everything like that. And wow. It was just like, it was she did a perfect job because at one point, like it scared me. And then like, she's like saying all this, like, remember, like this like emotional stuff, like don't go to light. Your heart is strong, live on, everything like that. And then like, after a while of listening to this, it kind of like really affected me because like, you know, a little bit of backstory of my personal life, which, you know, I'm a cancer survivor. You know what I mean? I had cancer from the age of 5 to about 14. I was in remission and everything like that. You know what I mean? So I've been there before. My parents were in the hospital with me a lot. You know what I mean? Man. Like, and they told me there was a few times where they didn't know I was going to come back. You know what I mean? They didn't know I was going to, like, you know, make it out of surgery or make it out of, like, you know, whatever treatments they were giving me and stuff like that. You know, dealing with chemo, it basically kills you. It kills off all your cells and you basically have to rebuild up again. You know what I mean? So that's why everyone looks like the way they do when they go through chemo. And so like, you know, with dealing with that stuff, it with Through the Haunt, it kind of like brought back memories of all that stuff that kind of like pushed back in my head because it's like, all right, no, that was the old me. I'm older now and everything like that. You know, it's I don't want to like keep living in the past. But then dealing with that, it brought back those memories. And it was kind of a good thing, though, because it was kind of like, you know, really, really, really don't, like, take life for granted. That's kind of cheesy to say, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah,
like, just really try to, like, live up to what you feel like is a good life as long as you're not hurting anyone and everything right. like that, you know? And so after dealing with the haunt and everything like that, like, you know, finally I do die in the haunt and they bury me. And stuff like that. They like literally put me in the ground, like on the floor.
In this one,
in the Bartle Totem.
Yeah.
They put me in the ground, like on the ground, because it's carpet.
Yeah.
And then they have like a bag over me, and they start shoveling like dirt that they already had planted there on top of me.
Man, that's crazy.
And it's not enough to like suffocate you, but it's enough to kind of get the message that like, all right, you are now playing a dead body, and just laying in there. And they tell you to lay in there for like a good like 2 minutes, but it feels like an eternity. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it's all like one, I'm like freaking out right now,
right?
Two, I'm by myself, so it's like I don't even know what's going on, and it's all pitch black. And yeah, basically after that, it's like I had to take a 5 minute break after that because it was like dude, like I couldn't like believe exactly what wow. I witnessed and everything like that. So that's why it's like it's good to have a safe word, because something like that was a good experience for me, but that's not going to work for everyone else. I know I went on like a long rant and everything like that, but it's like going back to what we're talking about, the safe word is always necessary, because someone can go through something similar to that, but it can affect them in the most horrible way ever. You know what I mean? It can bring back like something like really traumatic into their past life, whether they're abused or anything like that. So if you're taking it, if you're still forcing them to relive that moment without their consent anymore, it can really like mess them up.
Yeah, because they might not think, you know, they might think, oh, it's all right, it'll be all right, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and they won't be able to take it like how some other people will, you know. And that's like the only thing I'm like concerned about for Russ, is that like he's gonna get that one customer that's like that,
yeah,
and it's gonna affect his everything he worked hard to understand,
yeah.
And then like, you know, everything, and like, and it's gonna like, you know, affect him, like, you know, and otherwise, whether it be like a lawsuit, prison and something like that, you know what I mean? Or just like, he won't be able to do any haunts again. He'll lose all credibility. No one's gonna want to do a haunt with Russ McKinney's name on it anymore, you know? Like I said, he's a nice guy, everything, but I just feel like he just made a wrong decision right there.
Okay,
that's like the only thing. That's why I'm like kind of passionate about that, you know what I mean? Because it's all like, yo, you don't, I don't want to see anyone else go through something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's, I got gotcha. Not a cool thing. Yeah,
but okay,
yeah.
Well, hey, we'll close it out.
Yeah, definitely, man.
That was a nice run, man. I appreciate you getting personal there with everything.
Oh, yeah, and, no problem. And
that was incredible, man. And now I got a better understanding of the haunts and kind of what goes on in and around them, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad now.
And it's a different kind of branch of horror, which is great, because I haven't talked about this before yet on this podcast, so definitely something new, you know?
Glad to be the first, man.
Yeah. But Again, thank you, Justin no Vasquez, also
so
known
much.
As Scaredy Cat.
Yeah.
Vasquez.
Thank you so
Look
much.
Him up. And hey, man, you're part of the team now. And anytime, man. And
definitely.
Anytime you want me on yours, give me a call.
Oh, yeah,
I'll
no,
drive
definitely.
Down there.
There's
going to
be a Haunt Talk episode with you on it, man. I guarantee you that, dude.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming out here, man. And
anytime, dude.
We'll see you again soon. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Definitely. Thank you.